There is a crisis in healthcare in this country, and I'm not referring to the Affordable Care Act website or even to Obamacare itself. There is a larger, if you can believe it, there's a bigger problem. With the population numbers as they stand right now, before millions more are successful signing up for coverage, there are just not enough physicians to take care of them.
The worse the physician shortage becomes at the national level or at the state level, the more that those areas that are already underserved, like rural areas and some inner city populations, the harder it is for them to have physicians in their communities.
But the problem goes even deeper. The doctors that are being trained in the current system, by and large, are not going into private practice in offices or into joint practices in the communities of the country. They're going into specialties and subspecialties in large research and teaching hospitals in major cities. There are expensive machines to do MRIs and CAT scans and cardiac CATs.
I want a new drug. One that won't make me sick. One that won't make me crash my car and make me feel free.
You can certainly, you know, find some evidence in these associations between the lucrative nature of one specialty over another one that help you to explain where the system broke down and left you with an abundance of highly compensated subspecialties whose procedures and whose outputs are highly lucrative to the hospitals.
And as that money flowed, so did the distribution of the specialties. The people didn't seem to have the power, the populace, I mean, didn't seem to understand what was happening and have much representation in the decisions about what kind of doctors would be trained.
Back in the 60s, when Medicare and Medicaid were born, Congress was concerned that there needed to be a way to ensure that there were enough outlets for the care of people covered by the new programs. Funding was designated for graduate medical education. The money was given to teaching hospitals for the training of new doctors. Some $13 billion tax dollars go into this program annually. But there never was a system to direct exactly how the dollars were used.
There was no effort to create metrics of what would be produced.
Andrew Bazemore is the director of the Robert Graham Center in Washington, D.C.
And really the hospitals were left to determine where the residency positions, you know, would be directed and to decide based on their own local needs, and local typically being the hospital's needs, where to position their resources.
Things got out of balance. The large hospitals groomed doctors for their high-tech expensive units, and the doctors saw the specialties and subspecialties as being a good way to go. More money, less work, and a quicker way to pay off those nasty medical school debts. But let's back up and go to Kansas. Belleville, Kansas. Population about 2,000. Belleville is named for Arabelle Tutton, wife of A.B. Tutton, founder of the town some 144 years ago. Belleville sits at the crossroads of America and brags the world's fastest half-mile dirt track for racing. The track's operator, Mr. McChesney, is in the clinic today with a sore hand.
I don't know. It just hurts like this.
How long has it been bothering you?
About 3 or 4 weeks.
3 or 4 weeks?
There's
okay.
An elephant right there. It's just sore as the devil.
Right there, kind of by, on right your there. Palm.
Yeah, right Rachel there. Swatty is checking out the source of pain for Mr. McChesney. Rachel is a med student from KU Med School in Wichita. Mm-hmm. She's in Belleville for a rural rotation.
My whole hand will go to sleep, but this part of it seems to be worse than the other.
That's the worst. Yeah. So the part near your pinky and your fourth finger.
Yeah.
Rachel leaves Mr. McChesney and consults with her mentor doctor, Dr. Gertson.
So do you think it's a distal problem and not a central problem?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a peripheral disease.
Okay. I think so. I wonder if maybe he's got like a bone spur or something like that. I can't really feel it very well when I push on it.
Okay.
Because he gets pretty tender if you start pushing very hard.
Okay.
But I wonder if it's starting to affect the ulnar nerve distribution of his hand and causing problems there. I don't know if it'd be worth getting a picture of it and seeing if there's something there or...
Okay.
This patient doctor, student doctor training in rural Kansas is a crucial part of the KU Med School requirement. Dr. Rick Kellerman leads the Department of Family and Community Medicine at KU Med in Wichita.
Oftentimes we have students that don't want to go to a rural area to do that month, and after they do it, they come back and they say, that was the best rotation, was the one that I spent in Plainville or Tribune or in Liberal. That's the one that they remember as the one where they could put all of the things that they've learned to use.
The erosion of emphasis on the family doctor, which used to be called a GP or general practice doctor, really started with the high-tech inventions during and after World War II. But the house-calling doc held through part of the beginning of the baby boom of the 1950s. A few outlying medical schools began to bring back and concentrate with all elbow grease on training family doctors more recently, and KU Med Center in Wichita started in 1970.
Families don't suffer illnesses in a vacuum.
Family doctor is not just a shingle word, it's a whole discipline.
Well, family medicine was really based on a concept that patients aren't just a heart or a lung or a brain, but rather these are patients who have illnesses. And I think that's the whole basic concept of family medicine, that we don't take care of just a heart or just a lung or just a brain, but rather that you're taking care of a patient who has these organs, but also has disease processes, that has illnesses, but it's still a patient.
Somebody else might talk about an elbow like as if it's got a life unto itself.
A. Patrick Jonas, M.D., is a family doctor in Beaver Creek, Ohio. He's also past president of the Ohio Academy of Family Physicians.
We may know that that elbow has to be in a Little League baseball game on Saturday, and the context is the important part. So the context of a person's life, if they come to us with some problem, we know the context in which the problem exists and how it fits with their decisions.
Family doctors are more likely to prescribe aspirin and ACE bandages than CT scans and the like, not because their patients never need the high-end tests, but because most patients don't need them most often. Family doctors are more in the business of keeping people out of the hospital through care of the whole body, mind, and heck, even diet and stress levels. But the system does not reward this kind of care. Dr. Jonas.
When reimbursing for cognitive processes became less considered than it could have been.
The fee-for-service system controlled by Medicare is here, and it places a higher value on the kinds of things you can find with specialists and high-tech hospitals.
So people with incredibly detailed, complex thinking that saves a lot of money was not getting as much credit as people who thought a lot less but had an expensive room or an expensive piece of technology.
So we have several things going against the production of family care doctors. The fee-for-service system encourages a lot of high-tech testing. The time spent being a cardiac catheterization doctor may be much less than the time spent being a family doctor. And the money to be made by being a specialist or subspecialist can be substantially more than that of a family doctor. And then we're back to the beginning. There has been no measuring of the tax dollars spent on medical school programs until now. But before we find out the results of that study, let's go back to Belleville.
What we're looking for here is a bone spur.
Uh-huh.
And you know what a bone spur looks like.
Right.
Mr. McChesney has taken a trip upstairs to the lab to get an x-ray of his hand, and now student Rachel Swati and Dr. Gail Gertson are checking it out.
Increased periosteum with your bone spurs. Mm-hmm. So they'll be the real bright white things mm-hmm. that stick out. So things like this here, it's all normal periosteum around this here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything on here that looks like a bone spur.
Okay.
What I do see, in particular here in his thumb, is a ton of degenerative joint disease.
Arthritis.
See all that osteophytic
Okay, so I know, what about this study that you teased us about? The study, which tracked the teaching institutions who received federal dollars for their graduate medical education, is complete. It's a product of the Association of American Medical Colleges. It ranks the institution based on numbers and percentages of primary care docs graduating and also staying in the fields of primary care medicine and other things also. You can see the fine print on our website. We're equating the term primary care here with family care. And fanfare, Wichita ranks sixth in the country out of 161, competing with the big boys. One of the study's authors is Andrew Bazemore.
University of Kansas School of Medicine in Wichita, at least by our measurement, you know, over the time period measured, appears to be an outstanding producer. Physicians entering primary care and fall certainly into the upper ends of physicians going into health professional shortage areas and rural areas as well.
Dr. Rick Kellerman in Wichita.
Only about 8% of graduating medical students go into family medicine. That is not going to cut it. That is not going to meet the needs of our country. And it doesn't matter whether it's Kansas or some other state, we don't have enough family physicians, we don't have enough primary care physicians who are taking care of the society.
No one, including the authors of this study, is saying that we don't need the research in high-tech hospitals and the specialists that are in them by any means. We all need to have these brilliant care facilities when one of our loved ones gets the very rare cancer or disease. It's a question of balance and whether indeed white has followed green here. Some of the names at the bottom of the list are those stellar research hospitals Duke, Cleveland Clinic, Massachusetts General, Johns Hopkins. A lot of doctors coming out, very few going into primary care.
No, we're all having active discussions in Washington, and I'm sure you're doing it at the state level, too.
Atul Grover is Chief Public Policy Officer at the Association of American Medical Colleges.
About how to reward keeping people well just as much as we reward taking care of people who are sick. And that's going to come through a whole lot of new payment systems that are being tested out now, whether that is medical homes or accountable care organizations or bundle payment projects.
Grover believes that the study is a bit biased toward what it was looking to prove, and that there is indeed a shortage of physicians in general. The fixes, he says, are in the works, but the problems are right here and right now. So beware out there. You may not need the elbow specialist when you played Little League for hours on Saturday. You may need the doctor down the street with the shingle that says family doctor. And in Kansas, at least, thanks to the KU Med School in Wichita, they're not so hard to find. For KMUW News, I'm Eileen LeBlanc.
Just what you want.